Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I am Jeff Barton, your host and voice in the mortgage industry. Welcome to the show. Thanks very much for tuning in each and every week. We bring to you solutions in the mortgage industry. Now, that may say something to you that it doesn't say to me. Let me tell you what a solution is. You're a first-time home buyer. You're competing against four or five other people for a house that you just want to buy to get into the market now, and you are unsure as where to start. Yeah, that's what we do on the show. We'll tell you how to do that. I can direct you to a number of different great loan officers, the company that I work for, and also sponsors the show, Malibu Funding, Inc. If you go to their website, www.malibufunding.net, you will see that there are 35, 40. Actually, we have almost 70 different loan officers in 13 different states that can help you figure out the problem, and whether it's that first-time homebuyer problem, or maybe it is you've got a small business and you've been making pretty good money actually during the COVID crisis, and you just you want to use your bank statements from your business to get a loan. Yes, that's a problem that needs to be solved, and we can solve that. There are a number of different companies that will give you that solution, and we're certainly one of them. But the show itself will be able to help you, you know, decide what you want to do. Main thing about what we do, we give information so you can use that information. Now, we talk about rates. Absolutely, we talk about rates. We talk about the conditions that come up during the loan process, which you have to satisfy in order to get underwriting to approve your loan. Yes, that's the kind of stuff we do. Now, we're on a number of different places. We're on 5 radio stations, 3 different states, from Albuquerque up to Las Vegas, all the way to Lake Tahoe, and certainly in the Inland Empire in Southern California, San Bernardino, Riverside counties. We're also on 10 different podcasts, and Daryl will read us the list of those podcasts for me. Thank you.
We certainly are. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and PodClips.io.
And PodClips.io is the newest in our lineup, and they have a lot of great information on there, especially in the financing section, in the finance, and the when you're looking up solutions to problems in that area, go there. It's a pretty good website. It's brand new, and we're excited about being on it. YouTube, especially. If you want to see me, which I don't know if you'd want to see me today, I had a bunch of cancer cut off my face, so I look like, you know, I took a few rounds.
Did they do it with a knife, or did they freeze-dry it?
Freeze-dried it. Yeah, exactly. Anybody in Southern California who's been here long enough knows exactly what I'm talking about. And if you've lived on the planet more than 5 minutes, you know, they tell you the sunblock and make sure you wear a hat. And I do all that stuff. But out here, you just get nailed anyway. So YouTube, go there. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. And that is the way that you can get to the channel. And we have a new website coming out, The Mortgage Voice. I don't know, when is that website coming, Daryl? Do you know?
It'll be this week.
Okay, excellent. So if you go to www.themortgagevoice.com, I believe it is, you will get to the new way that we are delivering the information to you. The show comes out once a week in some stations and twice a week in some other stations. But again, we're on probably six, seven times during the week, and that's an hour show. But the good thing about the website is we're going to be able to break it up into segments, 10-minute segments, and we're going to be able to get the information about those segments out to the internet. So if for instance, you hear on the show today something we're talking about, let's say we're talking about first-time homebuyer programs, you'll be able to search the internet for first-time homebuyer programs, and you should be able to get right to the solution that you're looking for in the show. And I think that's really the way to attack it. You know, I'm an old guy, and I really don't know much about what that is. So we got a couple of older guys to come on and tell me exactly what to do, and John and Daryl are doing a terrific job of that, so I appreciate what they're doing. Let's get right to it. Let's talk about rates right now. The interest rates have been over 3% now for a month, but they've been hovering, as has the 10-year yield on the 10-year bond. And that really means that we're probably going to stay right about here through the beginning of the summer. Now, the beginning of the summer, what are we talking? 4 or 5 weeks, middle of June, maybe 6 weeks. So it's not all that long, but 6 weeks in the mortgage process, I mean, you could have gotten a mortgage and closed by that time in 6 weeks. So 30-year fixed rate is at 3.14. And again, these are averages that we take through a site called Mortgage Solutions or Mortgage Educators or Mortgage. There's all kinds of places where you can get this information. 3.14 on a 30-year fixed is smoking rate, by the way. It's not the 2.75 it was a month and a half ago, but it's still pretty good. And we've opened up more refinances as a result. We were at 3.5%, almost 3.6%, not 2 weeks ago. Now we have had rates drop. There are a number of reasons why the rates drop. We don't have to get into that all today. But 15-year fixed, 2.57. Now that is a smoking rate. Let's say you're a person out there who wants to get this over with, right? You have extra money. You can pay your mortgage. You could pay a little extra. Now, there's a couple ways to do that, right? You can drop yourself into the 15-year mortgage, or you can pay principal reduction on your loan every week. You could put another, you know, $1,000 on your principal reduction on a monthly basis. And over the course of 10 years, you know, you've paid off principal of $120,000. But the interest you're going to pay on that $120,000 is also less. So you only pay interest on what you owe. So yeah, that probably speed up your loan as well to be close to 15, 20 years in that range. Let's see. The FHA loan is at 2.63. Interesting, right? The 15-year is less than the FHA loan. Now, FHA also carries with it mortgage insurance premium. So that's added on to this rate. So the actual APR is probably a point and a quarter higher than this. But your loan is insured. That's a whole different process, right? There's a lot of people out there right now who are in forbearance. Forbearance was the program that the Fed and the federal government came out with, the Treasury, that said you don't have to pay your mortgage because of COVID. You lost your job because of no fault of your own. So, and we are still in that protocol, probably till the end of the year, I would imagine. We are currently, let's see, about 4.25% of all mortgages are in some form of forbearance, meaning that somebody in this 4.2%, somebody out there is not getting paid. And those servicers who have been taking it on the chin since, you know, the beginning of COVID, over a year now. Think about that. We've been in this financial crisis for over a year, but everybody's excited. Why are they excited? CDC came out with new guidelines. You can go outside and party hardy. You don't need a mask anymore if you've been vaccinated. Now, that may seem obvious to most people, but as the federal government tries to dig us out, the best thing to do is to allow people to do what they want to do outside. Therefore, they'll spend money. What does that mean? It means a new job, another job. Somebody's got to hire somebody else. Ball games, concerts. You think of the things you do outside that, you know, you can't do right now. Well, I guess you can now since the new guidelines. Anyway, it's going to mean more jobs, and that's going to mean less people in forbearance. That's a good thing. For services, it's a good thing for you. Jumbo loan, 3.2%. Now, this is low. A lot of banks, a lot of lenders have come out with a jumbo product. There are two kinds of jumbos out there. There's non-conforming jumbo, meaning there is a number in your county that is conforming, that will be sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That's what conforming means. The loans that you do get sold to those government entities. They're not really government entities, although they are partially owned by the Treasury, U.S. government, GSEs, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. However, the true jumbo loan is beyond that limit that is the conforming or non-conforming jumbo. So up to $1 million, up to $3 million. Those programs have really exploded. Why? Because the data through COVID and the last 5 years on products that are jumbo is spectacular. There are very, very, very few defaults on these types of loans, which means that the risk on these types of loans is actually less than they are for some lesser amount of loans. Now, you have to have more equity in, and as equity builds, who's going to want to give that away? We saw equity. Where's the number? Some markets, 17% year over year from February, 17%, but most markets, 11.9%. So if you have a property that's a jumbo property at $1 million, let's say, and it just went up 10% last year, now it's worth $1,100,000, well, who's going to default on the equity that you just got? Nobody. That's why the loans are so good, because they're really, really good risk for those particular lenders. We got a lot more on the show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, listening to the show. We bring to you information about mortgages, about what's going on in the communities, not only nationally, but in the entrepreneurial spirit that exists out there, especially now since we've got a lot of people with shots in their arms. Everybody's looking forward to getting out and doing stuff. And there's nothing more exciting than starting a business and getting going on it or continuing to build a business. Of course, we talk about rates, we talk about real estate, we talk about everything having to do with decision-making that you make, you're going to make, or that you have made in the past concerning mortgages and real estate. I mean, it's a center for a lot of people's lives when they start out. And so we try to bring, it's spring, we might as well start with one of our favorite guests who's come on the show several times, although last year I only had you on once, I think, Ed, but it's Ed Peisner.
Yeah.
And welcome back, Ed. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Great to hear your voice again as well. It's really good to be back on.
Okay, so I want to get right to what I had briefly alluded to during the introduction was the entrepreneurial spirit of people with shots in their arm. I mean, I briefly talked to you off air about the bed wedge, and for people who don't know, Ed is an entrepreneur of note, having invented a thing called the bed wedge. I'll let you describe it, and then you can tell me how the business is going post-COVID, or it's almost post-COVID, and yeah, let me know. What's happening?
Sure. So the product itself, it's a simple solution to a long-existing problem, which is things that fall behind your bed where your mattress and your wall or your headboard meet up. There's usually that little, like, two-inch gap. And for me, it was my remote. My glasses would always slip behind
right,
the bed.
Right.
And we came up with this invention, my partner and I. We came up with an invention called the bed wedge, which seals up that gap. It keeps your pillow behind your head, not behind the bed.
Right.
Or under your head, not behind the bed.
Right.
And it's been, you know, it was a, again, we started this out of my garage. And I, you know, packed my car with our samples and went to bedding stores all over Los Angeles, knocking on doors. And, you know, the typical story you've heard, people just knocking on doors, going to trade shows, trying to get it out there.
Right.
And I never gave up. We got a couple of distributors back in the day about 3 or 4 years ago. We broke with them. And we rebranded about 18 months ago under the name SnugSop.
Okay.
And we have hit a grand slam home run with this, Jeff. I got to tell you, we went with a marketing firm and a distribution
yep.
company that got us onto Amazon, and our sales exploded with them. Now, I can't tell you if it was COVID, more people were home for the shopping.
Maybe.
I really don't know.
Yep.
But it had our sales quadrupled. It's been a very, very, last year was great. This year started off to be fantastic. It's a great product. Again, more and more people are noticing the product now, so it could be the marketing efforts from this distribution company. They're doing much more media-wise, social media-wise.
Right.
So it's been great, and you know we're very happy.
Excellent. You know, I love the excitement in your voice because I can hear it, and I hear it. We talk about mortgages and buying a house and a lot of people beginning their life, getting excited about things. That's what I hear in your voice, and I think I hear that a lot in the market today, although a lot of people in the mortgage and real estate world are kind of disappointed just because there's not a lot of real estate product out there. But for
right.
someone who's building a business, what do you see out there in terms of, I guess, excitement? Do you see people getting geared up to get back to it? What are you seeing?
Yeah. I really do, Jeff. And you know what we've noticed in this pivot we've made for the last, you know, 18 months, basically, is more people are working from home and more people realize they can work from home,
right.
fully functional from home. And more people are starting businesses up using that Amazon, the Amazon web stores as their vehicle to drive business. That is our sole vehicle right now. It's all the Amazon web stores. And it's amazing what Amazon gives you if you have a product to sell. It really is. And if you're a product that catches their eye, you know, there's these you know, companies that will buy your Amazon web store for, you know, something times your earnings, you know, a percentage times your earnings. So it's a wonderful business. Got to have a good product. You got to have your head in the game.
Right.
And some skin in the game. You know, you can't just think it's all going to happen on its own. It doesn't work like that. You got to put effort in. But, you know, effort in, results out.
Okay, let's just get right to a little bit of the nuts and bolts in that. How long you been in the business? When did you start it? And what year are you on today?
So basically this is our 10th year. We had the idea in 2011. It took a couple years to, this was, again, all my partner and I, one of my dear friends and I, we just did it all on our own. We Googled how to get a patent. We Google searched the names. We did all that. We were assigned two United States utility patents, which was very hard to get, but we did it.
Right.
So our first year in sales was about 2014. And when I say that, I'm talking, we ordered the phone, we cut it in my garage, we had people selling cases for us, we packed it ourselves, my kids were helping to seal them and pack them, and then I filled up my truck, and I went to the Fit and Sleeps and the mattress stores, and we drove to Vegas to betting shows year after year, just to try to get it out there, very, very on our own grassroots.
You know what?
It took a lot of effort.
Yeah, it does. I mean, anything worthwhile doing is worthwhile really putting the effort in. Nothing comes easy, but as you sound, there is success. You stick with it. I wanted to talk and switch gears a little bit because you do a terrific job with your nonprofit of protecting kids online from internet bullying and a number of other things. Can you talk a little bit about what that is? And how that's progressing as well?
Absolutely. So we founded 4 years ago the Organization for Social Media Safety. The website's OSSMS.org. This was founded after my son was a victim of a violent crime, a violent assault that was basically recorded for notoriety reasons, and they put it up on social media where it went viral. You know, he suffered a traumatic brain injury and spent days in the ICU, and everybody was watching the video and liking it. So after he got out, we formed this organization. And what it did was it opened my eyes to the amount of dangers that are out on social media that we are unaware of. You know, again, I tell the story when I talk to parents and kids alike. When I was, 30 years ago, they taught me, don't drink and drive. And they had the Mothers Against Drink Driving and the red asphalt videos and the scared street. They were teaching us things that we were intuitively knew. We knew they were bad. We knew drunk driving was bad. They were just trying to make sure we knew it. You know, today there's a laundry list, this long list of dangers on the internet and on social media that kids aren't aware of. So our goal with our organization is to educate kids on the dangers, and then educate kids and parents, by the way, and then educate them on how to react or respond should something happen. That's our goal.
And how is, so usually you were doing presentations and I guess bringing programs to schools. Is this predominantly done online now?
Yeah, so pre-COVID, I was visiting 100 some odd schools a year all over the U.S. because we're national.
Yep.
And sharing my story, going into our educational tips and what to do and what not to do and some of the laws that are out there because we did pass a law in California for filming a violent act. And so we educate them in person. Now, obviously, we have to pivot because of COVID.
Yep.
We are not doing presentations for kids online on Zoom because we feel that they're staring at the computer enough, being that they're in school online.
Right, and of course.
We know we're not going to get a lot of attention from them when it comes to online. But we are doing parent presentations online. We did create a three-hour, what we're calling the Buckling Your Social Media Seatbelt Super Course. And it's all free. It's online. It's a three-hour video course cut into, 10-minute segments, 11 minutes.
Yeah,
take them
perfect.
Here and there.
Yep.
And that's all on our website. We give that to any parent that wants. They just sign up, and they watch the videos. And it's really just an educational piece. It's about the conversations to have with your kids about social media, the rules to set, and then how to set certain settings on your phone. We give you the whole walkthrough.
Ed, we are out of time almost. Could you let people know how do they get in touch with this part of what you do? It would be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the website, www.OFSNS, which stands for the Organization for Social Media Safety, .org. Everything you need is right there on our website, our phone number, our contact information. If you feel so generous as to make a donation, there's a donate button there. We are completely funded by the generosity of everybody that follows us. So, that's us. And please, if a listener is listening and wants me to come to their child's school, I'm more than willing to do that once they open up. We're looking forward to getting back into the classroom.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Ed. I really appreciate you coming on once again. And, we'll do it again soon. I don't want to wait this long next time.
Yeah, let's do it again soon, Jeff. Great to hear your voice.
Great to hear your voice, too. That's Ed Peisner. I'm Jeff Barton.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show to hear what we have to say about what's going on in the mortgage and real estate businesses. We cover a broad swath of the Southwest as well as California on the radio show. We have five different stations, Albuquerque up to Las Vegas, Nevada, Inland Empire in Southern California, San Bernardino, Riverside, and all the way up to Lake Tahoe area in Central California. We are also on 10 different podcasts. Darryl, you got a list of those podcasts for us?
I sure do, Jeff. I've got Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and Podclips.io.
Podclips.io is our newest affiliate podcast. Please go there. We have a lot of great information, not only our show, but certainly some great financial people that are on there that can help you really decide what you're trying to do with your retirement or your real estate or mortgage needs. If you want to see the show, we record it for video, YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. That's me. Go there. We have hundreds of shows there, and we're about ready to launch our new site, themortgagevoice.com, which will have a lot of new and interesting ways by which you can access the information, which I always think is great. Okay, so let's, now that that's out of the way, Eddie Real, who has been on the show once before from Albuquerque, I asked him to come back because I love the market. It's fascinating, and we get to talk to local people about what's going on in the market there in Albuquerque. Eddie, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good to hear your voice again. It's been a while.
Yes, it has, and thank you for coming on and doing this. I know some people are so busy they just can't do it, and I caught you right out of a closing, so I guess you're as busy as everybody else.
Yeah, it worked out perfectly, but the thing is, if we can't take the time to talk to you, then we're doing something wrong. Okay, I'm happy to talk to you, and thank you for selecting me to visit with you today.
Okay, excellent. So, you had a closing today. How often do you have them? Is the market still on fire the way it was the last time we talked?
Yes, it is, but, you know, it's kind of one-sided because you get calls from buyers, and you can't really help them because it's so difficult to find properties. Almost everything gets multiple properties the first day, multiple offers the first day, and the problem with that is that you got to know how to write them to make yours look better than the other ones, but yet you have limitations.
Yep.
You have appraisal limitations. You have limitations of, like, first-time buyers don't have that extra money to pad it another $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. So it's just very difficult. So you got to try to get the listings, but then again, there's not that many listings because if they sell their house, where are they going to go?
Right.
You know, so it's a difficult situation. I've been doing this over 40 years. I've never seen the market lopsided like this. It's great that it's a seller's market, but there's also other ramifications we have to deal with. What do they do when they sell their house? If they're not moving out of town or out of state, transferred from work or something, then they got to rent or they got to buy something else. And so it's a little bit of a tough situation. It can be real good or it can be difficult. The virus did slow us down a lot, but like right now, phones ringing a lot. People are looking to, you know, do things. People that are trading up are doing well. Because if you sell your house for $200 and you're buying a $400 house, there's less competition in the $400 range than there is in the $200 range. So therefore, you have a little bit better shot. And if you can get a 2.9% mortgage, man, you know, you're stealing it. So things are good. You just have to know what you're doing, you know?
Okay, you mentioned about getting an advantage by writing an offer a certain way. I know there's limitations, but give us some examples of how you might be able to help a borrower or a buyer get a slight advantage on somebody else.
Okay, so you're listing it, you put a property on, you're going to get 4, 5, 6, 8 offers. You got to start weeding them out, and you got to be fair to everyone, because you have to be you just have to be ethical and you have to be fair. But now, what the seller is going to be looking for, one of the main things is he doesn't want to wait 45 to 60 to 70 days, because it's 45 days normal, and then
right.
If it's New Mexico Finance Authority, they take 2 more weeks to look at it. The appraisals are taking 35 days to get them. So there's a lot of things that are happening. So if you've already pre-qualified, like you're in the mortgage business, if somebody can chop off a week or two off the qualifying because they've already got all their documents into you, everything's ready to go, that's a big thing. Another thing is, I always tell people, come in with a huge earnest deposit
right.
and make it non-refundable. Okay, so you're going to come in with $3,000, $4,000, non-refundable deposit. If you sell the house to me, I'm going to close it, and I'm going to give you a big deposit, make sure I don't walk away. So people say, well, I might lose my deposit. Well, then you don't want to buy the house then, obviously, because if we get the deal, you're going to close. The other thing, too, is the guy that's putting a larger down payment down, there's less risk with him. If he's putting $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 down, he's going to have a little more advantage because if it doesn't quite appraise, there's some cushion there, so it makes things a little bit easier. So there's a lot of things you can do. Good closing, large earnest deposit, not necessarily making it non-refundable, but a large deposit, and also pre-qualify well. I mean, be into it. Don't just get a call the guy and say, give me a letter. I got a letter here. No, I've actually got documents into you. So there's a lot of things that go into this. But, you know, if you're buying a house with 2.9% interest and you're planning on staying there a long time, you did well because you're paying less than rent.
Yeah. Right, absolutely
so
right.
In the mortgage business, you know how that works.
Yeah, I do. In trying to get the buyers, I guess, the best advantage possible, you mentioned certain things that you can do. How often do you see, I guess, people overreach, i.e. overpromise, and how does that affect the relationship with the seller or, you know, the buyer or the seller's agent? I mean, I just know...
Who are you overpromising to? I missed something there.
Well, the overpromise would be to the client, and then overriding on the offer just so that you can get him into something. Or is the strategy more to be as honest as possible? I just know in certain markets in certain cities, the agents play a little fast and footloose with the facts. I don't know what it's like or what the repercussions or something like that are down in Albuquerque.
Well, you know, the thing is, I've been in business 40 years.
Right.
And, you know, what you just mentioned to me, that's not even my vocabulary.
Me either.
I don't even know what you're talking about there. But the thing is this, you got to be straight with everybody all the time.
When right.
you walk out of that closing, the buyer has to be happy, seller has to be happy, the realtors and closing agents, everybody has to be happy, or you didn't do your job. So the thing is, everything takes care of itself. You cannot cheat, you can't lie, you can't misrepresent. You can, but you're not going to be in the business very long. I've been doing this 40 years, and it doesn't take but a minute for somebody to get a bad reputation. So you want
right.
to make sure you do everything ethical, you do the best you can, and once in a while you lose a deal. But if you don't do it ethically, and you have to look over your shoulder, you're not going to be in the business very long, and also you're never going to get referrals. And we rely on referrals quite a bit.
Absolutely, and I think answering the question that I was thinking about is that the agent is almost as important as what's written in the offer. The trust in the people you work with and your reputation in the industry really helps sell that particular buyer to that particular seller. And as you just demonstrated, and being where I'm based up in the Southern California market, there are a lot of different work ethics up here, but as you've demonstrated being the type of person that can't even think of doing that, it really helps the buyers along the way to get into the property because the people trust you, the agent.
Well, you know, it's not unusual to lose 2 or 3 deals a year because
right.
everybody says, well, can you do this, can you do that? That's not going to work for me. I'll just refer you to John Doe over there. Or I'm sorry, I can't help you. Or,
right.
You know, but, you know, the way it is now, you got 20-page purchase agreements, 20-page listing agreements,
yep.
you got disclosure documents. I mean, how could you even think of doing something unethical? It's almost impossible, to one thing. And second of all, you're cheating yourself and your people. So, I don't know. That doesn't enter the vocabulary here, what we're talking about. So, anyway, long story short, if you never have to look over your shoulder, you're doing something right.
No, I agree with it. And that's why I like to talk to you, because the business is hard enough. Dealing with straight people, you know, it's hard enough. If you're dealing with people that aren't straight, it's very difficult. And like I say, I've been doing this about as long as you have. We're up against the clock right now. Could you shout out your phone number for people who want just a terrific broker down in the Albuquerque area?
Sure. Eddie Rael, R-A-E-L. And if you want to go online, eddierael.realty, R-A-E-L. My number is 505-550-7235. 505-550-RAEL in the cell. My office number is 883-9400. Everything in this area is 505-883-9400.
Right.
Anyway, eddierael.com in Albuquerque or eddierael.realty. Give me a call if you're thinking of transferring over here. We can see what we can do for you. And like I said, if you're ethical about everything, your job is easy. If you're not, you got to keep looking over your shoulder. That's no way to live. But we have a good reputation. We've been doing it a long time, and I'm with Realty One, the largest and fastest-growing brokerage in the entire Southwest right now. Realty One of New Mexico, 883-9400. Eddie Rael, 550-7235. And give me a call, even if you want to just chat. Because, that's what we do. Also, if I can mention, I do have an oldies radio show on Sunday afternoon, KDSK.com, anywhere.
Excellent.
KDSK.com, 1 to 5 Albuquerque time. Every Sunday afternoon, I take requests at 550-7235. I do thank you for letting me spend some time with you this afternoon.
Love it, Eddie. Thank you very much for coming on the show again. We'll talk soon, keep knocking them down.
Sure. If anybody has any questions about any real estate in Albuquerque, 505-550-7235. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eddie. Thanks very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning in to the show this week, as well as every other week that you do come on. If you do come on, you go to the podcast or you hear the radio stations. Again, we're on 5 radio stations in 3 different states, from Albuquerque up to Las Vegas, Nevada, up to Lake Tahoe, and certainly in the Inland Empire in Southern California, San Bernardino and Riverside counties. If you see and hear us, or you go to any of these stations or podcasts to listen to us, click on that you like us, that you want to join what we're trying to do. And what are we trying to do? Look, you've got questions about mortgages, about real estate. Everybody does. I mean, the market changes so much and has changed so much in this last 18 months. I mean, if you consider where we were 18 months ago to where we are today, you would not have believed it. From the people who are buying and selling loans, to the companies that have merged or gone public, to the products that are out there taken away and given back, to the credit score requirements, the whole new 1003, which is the loan application, there's a lot of things going on in the lending world. Now, if you're talking real estate, there's not enough of it. So, yeah, you need to join to get the information from us. And one of the people that we bring on the show all the time, who's an expert in so many parts of the business, he works for Malibu Funding. He's the resident manager in Las Vegas, Nevada, is Charles Giscombe. And I brought him back today to talk about market, to talk about programs. Charles, how are you?
Great, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. Okay, first off, how are things going? Busy as they always are, or do you see any change based on the rates going up a little bit?
You know what, Jeff? Surprisingly, business is still moving forward. It's booming. Individuals are purchasing. They're getting out there. And the more and more that the market becomes open, the individuals are just, the banks are coming up with new programs and giving us new opportunities to get other individuals who normally wouldn't be able to get in into the market, get them out there and give them the money so they can get into this fast-paced market still, Jeff. It's still moving so fast.
I agree 100%. My wife gets her second COVID shot on Wednesday, I've had mine. So 2 weeks from that, I told her, I said, look, CDC came out with new guidelines. We're going to be able to get out. So this times 300 million people, there's going to be a lot of business activity out there. A lot of people are going to get rehired. Do you think this is going to spike the rates, i.e., you know, because people will be wanting to spend money, companies will raise their prices? How do you think that's going to affect the market?
You know what? I don't think it'll be a sudden spike, but it has been going up slowly but surely.
Yep.
So I do inevitably feel like the rates are going to go up. And obviously, you know, the refinance business may not be there because it won't be the lowest interest rates for people to get into. But the purchase market will still be red hot, Jeff. And I believe people will be out there purchasing. There'll be more opportunity. And I just think that there's not enough property out there to buy. So people are going to, you know, they're just going to gobble it all up. A lot of people are saying that they were putting offers on property sight unseen.
Right.
With that being the case, we make ourselves available and we provide other options and financing that they just can't get from the bank. The non-traditional way has becoming more and more coming to the forefront. Individuals are looking for these non-QM, non-traditional ways to get into the market.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. Some of the products that are available out there currently are what? What are we talking about when we're talking non-QM?
I mean, now it's become so norm, Jeff, that we talk about this all the time, that these programs are coming to the forefront. They're just every day. I mean, every pricer you have now has to have a non-QM pricer along with the agency pricer because those products become available and very competitive in the market. Now, and these products are similar to the old stated products back in the day, but now even better, more enhanced, better interest rates. And that would be like bank statement programs. We have programs now, Jeff, where you can put 12 months, 24 months. There are some programs at 2 months of bank statements, basically utilizing your deposits that you make from your business and your personal, and you utilize that as your monthly income. And now your debt-to-income ratio is based upon the amount of money that you deposit as opposed to your tax returns. There's NONI loans, non-owner, no income, stated loans, stated income, stated asset, where you just state what your income is, and as long as you can show you have the ability to repay, then you'll be qualified if your credit can hold up to it. All kinds of loans, profit and loss loans, where you can just use your CPA to do a profit and loss for you to get you qualified. As long as you have that ATR, which is the ability to repay we always talk about,
yep,
and can show and prove that through these different methods or these different financial documents outside of tax returns and W-2s and paycheck stubs, there's a loan for you, Jeff. And that is making this market more competitive than ever.
Okay. Let's see. Flagstar just announced that they're going to be purchased by a bank back east. We've seen United Wholesale. We've seen Rocket. We've seen LoanStream. A lot of different companies either going public or getting bought. Do you think that's good or do you think it's bad for the marketplace? And do you see it as a warning sign or is something that is good for the market?
You know what? I look at it as this being good, as being competitive. I mean, it's obviously showing people that the market is thriving. It's better than ever. Competition is great.
Yep.
I do believe that these individuals coming in there have to be adjustments to the interest rate. And I do believe it's more visibility. You know, we have to do what we call demystifying the whole process of mortgages.
Agree.
You know, people
yep.
think that this is a whole big thing with these magic tricks and smoke and mirrors, but it's really not. It's based upon structure and your ability to repay. If you don't have a particular structure, as used to be, you could not get into this game. But now, if you have some sense of sort of semblance of structure that can meet a guideline, you will qualify for a loan. And I think that at the end of the day, all these different things, with the companies going public and these new programs and products being introduced into the market, it all is just allowing everyone, all types, all individuals, entrepreneurs, obviously salaried employees, W-2 individuals, everybody get into the market because it's the oldest way in the world to make some money and fill up your piggy bank.
Yeah, I listened to Housing Wire today, and they're talking some, and they have a long series of programs about minority home ownership. I'm of the belief that everybody in a house would be better for the country simply because more people would be invested in the country, i.e. if you've got skin in the game, so to speak, i.e. I can have my house paid off, I can have equity built in my house, you're more apt to be more productive, you're more apt to be able to keep your house and the neighborhood nice. That's just my own belief. On the show, it was talking about several things that were a bar to that. One was the price, obviously, because the price going up, scarcity of product. The other one was the ownership versus the investment, meaning should I own or should I invest? And the other is the debt-to-income ratio, i.e. student debt, and student debt strangling a lot of first-time home buyers, especially in the minority communities. You got any thoughts on any of this?
Yeah, you know, once again, Jeff, I know I always go back to it, but these are all the things that prohibited individuals of color from getting into homes for a very, very long time.
Right.
And there just wasn't that many banks offering loans to people of color, and therefore, you know, you had a small market that was able to get in, and the rest of them were just sitting on the sidelines, a lot renting, just being very frustrated and not being able to get in. But once again, I go back to non-QM loans.
Right.
Where else are you going to be able to get into a situation where there's no DTI, where they're not going, they don't have to count your debt-to-income ratio, or they give you an opportunity to extend the DTI so it's no longer your traditional 43%, but possibly go as high as 55%.
Right.
And some programs not even offering a limit on debt-to-income ratio and saying it doesn't matter. As long as you have the ability to repay and you can show, and you're fine. So, you know, those things are all real and true, Jeff. They are. They have happened. They still happen to this day, certain segments of the market and individuals. But there are more loan programs, more programs looking for people to say, hey, listen, you have an opportunity. You make money. You can be in the game. Let's provide an opportunity for these individuals. And banks becoming way more comfortable lending like this because they do know there's people out here making money, and somebody's going to loan for them. Why not us? Let's create
right.
a product, a program, a lane for them to get financing.
That's a great way to look at it, and I appreciate the fact that there are solutions. And if you could shout out a phone number for people who are looking for, you know, great advice on how to get a loan in a certain area, that'd be great.
Absolutely. As normal, it's the 702-328-5191. Again, 702-328-5191. Or you can contact me at charles@malibufunding.biz. That's charles@malibufunding.boyisaaczebra.
Okay, Chuck, thanks very much for coming on the show. Great information, a lot of good products out there, and you're the guy to do it. So I appreciate you coming on.
I always love it, and I appreciate this opportunity and platform Malibu Funding always provides you, Jeff, and yourself. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we will be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening to what we have to say about mortgages, what we have to say about the real estate market, and your prospects to get into it, or if you want to sell and rebuy somewhere else. Yeah, that's a great strategy if you live in the Southern California area. Maybe not such a great strategy if you live in some of the outlying areas of different municipalities, whether it be Columbia, South Carolina, whether it be Tallahassee, Florida, or up in St. Paul, Minnesota. By the way, that's a tough place to live right now. Oh. Sheesh, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Oh. No, thank you. Also, another area that's a tough place to live, downtown Portland, if you're up in that area. Yeah, if you've got property in that area, they're just now starting to reverse a trend that was, you know, 14, 15 months long of letting people riot and burn shut stuff down. They're taking a harder line stance. I think the people up there are kind of fed up with the whole prospect of being the city that allows it. So, yeah, I read an article recently that just said that's going to stop. And it'll please homeowners and it'll please people in the city who want to see their property values go up rather than down. Okay, so The home price appreciation continues, right? 11.9% in February year over year. Mentioned that in an earlier segment. Is it sustainable? And I'm not sure if it is sustainable. So let's talk about that for a second. Some people worry that there is a housing bubble, that the prices that have been going up are unsustainable, and that this smacks directly of 2008 all over again. So I read up on it a little. There were a few articles out. Housing Wire had a terrific series on it. Talked about what the difference is between today and 2008, because I think that's probably the most relevant, meaning that it's the one people remember. Nobody's going to remember the Great Depression. Nobody's alive that happened when that happened. But in 2008, yeah, there's a lot of people who got burned in that time. Let's talk a little bit about why it's a little bit different now than it was then. Okay, so the positives in the bubble. We've seen, as I just said, about an 11.5% increase in home prices year over year, February to February. Now, that's a good thing for people who own a home. There's 20% equity, the dollar rise in U.S. homes in 2020, which is pretty good. It means that most homes in America who are paying a mortgage have now at least 20% or more equity in that home. Matter of fact, the equity rose by $1.5 trillion in 2020. That's a big number. So that's one of the reasons they say that the loans today are more secure, because nobody's going to want to default on 20% equity in their home or more. It's just not going to happen. So therefore, they're going to do everything they can to hold on to that equity. And the government has helped by extending this forbearance program. Those are good things. The loans are more conservative now, another reason why it isn't like 2008. What do I mean by that? Anybody remember the NEG-AM loan? Of course everybody remembers that. Anybody remember the ratings in the bond market and how those were delivered or derived? Well, maybe don't remember that. Okay, let's tackle the first one. Loans were more conservative, and they were more conservative today than they were then. The NEG-AM loans themselves means that the way you paid into your loan in 2008 would not pay down the principal, and the principal would grow. Now, you had prices increasing, but you had less of a down payment or less money in the property, because what people would do was they would refinance, take the money out of the property. And that was why, in those days, those types of loans, which paid less on principal, and we're counting on the rise in the value of your property in order to continue to refi and take money out of the property. Those aren't allowed anymore. That's not done anymore. Therefore, the loans are much more conservative and much more secure. The property with equity, as I said, $1.5 trillion in equity in the properties in the U.S. went up last year alone in 2020. So you can't just keep using it as a cash machine. You can't refi on NEG-AM, and nobody's going to want to give up that particular equity in their home. And the forbearance that the government has allowed those people who lost their jobs due to COVID, all of these things say it's a completely different market now than it was then. And I happen to agree with that synopsis, that scenario. The banking system is better. What do I mean by that? Well, in 2008, lenders were not required to have the type of balance sheet that they have today. Now, most lenders borrow money at 15 to 1, meaning that if you have a dollar in your bank, in the vault, or however they calculate your net worth, that means you can go out and borrow $15. So you have a million, you can borrow 15 million. You have a billion, you can borrow 15 billion. And that's how it worked. Well, the capital requirements, which is what they call it, were increased after 2008. And the stress tests, which have been really pared down to the big seven or eight banks, Citi, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, those particular banks have very stringent liquidity requirements. And a lot of the lesser banks have also liquidity requirements, but the banks are in a better and stronger position than they were in 2008. And that is a good thing as well. There's more oversight, and the front end of the loan is different. The way loans are underwritten is much more conservative. If you've been out there trying to get a loan, you know what I'm talking about. There aren't the frivolous or the signature loans that there were in those days. These are all reasons why I don't think, in this particular article, the research I've done, really says that we are not in a bubble-like situation. A couple other things, the ratings for the loans, touched upon that a little bit earlier. So the three ratings agencies, Moody's, who are the other two? I forget right now, but let's just stick with Moody's. Okay, they used to value the loans that were brought to them so that on the secondary market they could be bundled and then bonds sold as a result of that. It's a type of derivative, right? So each loan that is made, right, has a rate with it. Your rate is, let's say, 2%. Well, all these 2% loans in 2008 would be considered A paper and therefore be able to, you know, say that the bond is worth X, whatever that is. Well, in those days, the rating agencies weren't as robust at their making sure that these loans were actually worth the paper they were written on. As we talked about, Mega M loans, not worth the paper. Pick-a-pay option loans, you all remember that, where you could pick your type of payment that you made on a monthly, and based on that, your loan could be in default, really, based on the fact that you didn't have to pay down on the principal. You could just pay the interest payment. You could skip a payment. Those loans don't exist anymore. So the ratings agencies are actually looking at the paper of the loans and seeing the conservative way by underwriting has really made the loans a better product, that the oversight, that the banking regulations, that the liquidity requirements, all of this makes that the agencies that give you bond ratings, let's, you know, Moody's, for instance, means that those bonds that are sold when all those loans are bundled together, all those 2% loans are bundled together, and then you're selling a bond at 1.5%, right? And these conservative type investments made on these GSE loans, these are all loans sold to Fannie and Freddie, are the type of product that Moody's can bank on because they're good loans. And so therefore, we're less apt to be in a bubble as a result of bad loans. They're not bad loans. They're good loans. Okay. There are some problems, however. Let's just go through them quickly. The increase in errors and sloppiness as a result of the volume in loans that have been done since 2019, through the pandemic of 2020 to present. That's one of the things that they brought up. 60% of underwriters out there, less than 2 years' experience. The investors with one property buying another property, and inflation. These are four areas that they see are something to keep an eye on and to make sure that, obviously, those areas are really under scrutiny. We wanted to talk a little bit about what's happening in the consolidation in the loan business. It's another area as well of concern for me. But we run out of time, and I really appreciate y'all listening to the show and me talk about some of the things that are going on in the real estate and in the mortgage business. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.